Hi, this is James, the coach of Team Liquid, and you're listening to The Center Ring.
And here we go. One more time. TCR episode 26 coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The Center Ring, you might also know us as your favorite esports podcast. I'll be one of your hosts for this journey. My name is Tim. The other gentleman across the table from me is Brandon. Brandon, how are you doing today?
What's going on, man? I'm doing good now that we took that recovery day off.
Yes, we desperately needed a recovery day after MLG Columbus for not doing anything really physical for 3 days. It really takes a lot out
man,
of you.
Yeah, I tell people, they're like, how's the trip? I was like, I was mentally done. Just absolutely
done.
I was
fried.
And they're like, you're just watching games.
We'll get to it in a little bit, but 10 hours of Counter-Strike will fry your brain. And how some people have to do that. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe we'll be there one day, but not yet. And so I can say that it is mentally exhausting. But we'll get to that in a little bit, because we are basically going to dedicate the episode to just recapping our experiences in Columbus, the storylines of it. We're going to dedicate one full segment just to Team Liquid alone, because there's just enough story there and still rumors and drama that we can always touch on, as we always do on the show. And of course, we'll always end it with a micro. Kind of a collage of stories we just don't have the time to discuss in full, or we just don't know that much about. And to be honest, after a weekend at a major, you don't have time to watch a whole lot of other esports, so
we tried too.
Not to say we didn't try, but there's just too much.
Yeah,
too much. But we'll dive a little bit. I mean, we know a little bit to bring up in the micro, which we always will. But let's get on with the show. The time is just before 9:30 p.m. on April 5th, 2016, Central Standard Time. The Center Ring, episode 26. I don't know. I felt like that was a bad segue. So we're just going to get into MLG Columbus. I feel like I screwed up that intro. We're starting off strong.
Welcome back.
You know, whatever. We had a GB James liner. That was neat. So let's talk about Columbus. Like I said, we'll get into the storylines between the teams, the players, and everything there. But really, we got to get to kind of the experience of what it was like to go to the first North American CSGO major, the first $1 million major. It was a very big deal. Like, for those people who might not be as into CSGO or as into esports, this was a huge deal to go to, or even just happening, even if you were at home watching it online. It was a big deal with a lot of storylines. And we were fortunate enough to be able to go. Now, we got there on Thursday. And unbeknownst to us, we booked the hotel that all of the pros and all of the staff members of MLG were staying at. And it was actually funny, because we actually were talking on the plane on the way there. And we were like, you know what? This hotel was not listed on MLG's website.
That's what I think. I think I went to look at the website to see, like, find the schedule, which was difficult to find. You had to go to the Facebook, MLG's Facebook group to get it. Yeah, I was like, they have like four hotels in Columbus, and the Sheraton that we are staying at
was not on the list.
Nowhere to be found.
And so when we landed, we were like, all right, there's like a 90% chance that this might be the hotel where they're staying at. And wouldn't you know, the second we get out of the Uber driver's car, who do we see walking out of the hotel? we see CLG walking out, getting ready to go to their group stage match. Because like I said, we got there Thursday. So there was no event or really anything to do on Thursday. So we spent the time just kind of hitting the city. Columbus, beautiful city. I was surprised. I was
very surprised.
I told people before I went there. Now, I'm not going to lie, and this might be dumb of me. I did not know Columbus was the capital of Ohio.
You assume it's Cleveland, or did you think?
I really had no idea. I'm right. Not going to lie. I've never thought in my life what the capital city of Ohio was.
Just never really concerned.
So whether I thought it was Cleveland or Cincinnati or Columbus, I never gave it 1 second of thought or amount of energy on what the capital city of Ohio was. But our hotel, literally the room was right next to the Capitol. We were looking at it.
It's called the State House up there.
We stayed near the State House and we did it.
We walked around, looked at the State House.
We walked around, saw the city, dodged a bullet. We signed up for the tour and dodged a bullet because while we were waiting for the tour to start, we opted out. We tapped out and decided maybe
we did our own tour.
We have better things to do than an hour-long tour of the history of Ohio's traffic lights. Which is actually a part of that museum.
They had a whole little section devoted to traffic laws.
Trust traffic laws. We're like, okay. 5 minutes was enough. So that was Thursday. Beautiful city, small enough where you could walk around in. Our hotel was close enough, about a mile away from the event. So we could walk there fine. Got a little cold later on. It got to like 32 degrees, which we were not dressed for. So, you know, we stopped walking at that point. But Friday, first day of the event, we get there early. Well, we got there early in the morning, but late to where the doors open. We got there like 30 minutes after the doors open. No lines, everything. We got awesome seats, like fifth row up right in front of the casters. So, I mean, if you yelled, Anders and Semler and all of them could
hear
us.
Oh, they could hear you, yeah.
Like easily hear us. Which is neat because after each match, the casters would go down and sign autographs and take pictures with everyone.
I was so surprised. I think I saw two times where any caster said, "Hey, I don't have time for this right now." And it was because they were trying to get to a production meeting or they were trying to get to the analyst desk for something. They stood there and signed autographs for at least 20 to 30 minutes after every match ended.
And even like then, like Richard Lewis, after the All-Star game, he even like was like, "Guys, I can't do this. I don't have time." And while he's saying that, he's signing autographs.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Meet me up there after the match. I'll see you after in between maps. Like I will sign your whatever." And it's like Anders and all of them signed so many autographs, it was ridiculous.
And that's just after the matches. They also did the like signings like out in the concourse later on. So
they are definitely thankful. And you know what? None of them, I think, would have it any other way. Because I even like when I met Anders, I was like, "Man, like you sign a lot of autographs, and like you're up already like 12 hours, and you're signing, you know, a couple hundred people a day to say hello to." And he said, and I felt like he was very honest. He was just like, "You know, this is us giving back. Like, we do so many tournaments that we don't get a chance to see any fans. So when we do the tournaments that we have a chance to say hi, we want to say hi." So that was Friday. The venue in itself was awesome. The way the stage was set up was awesome. Production was awesome all throughout the tournament, through group stage and in the stadium, in-house stage. That was awesome production, I felt. And then Saturday and Sunday, I guess, were basically the same. Like every day in the arena felt the same, right?
Yeah.
Apart from the energy.
So Saturday, the building was definitely different just because of who was playing, which we'll go into later. Sunday, and we talked about it briefly, the All-Star match that they played kind of had the opposite effect of the games on Saturday, where it kind of drained it a little bit, like because nobody was truly invested in it, not even the players. But that's any All-Star game for any sport, for anything.
Yeah, there are two types of people in this world. Those who enjoy All-Star games and those who don't. And I have decided I am part of the latter where I do not enjoy them.
Yeah.
Like at first I was like, this is kind of cool. NA versus EU, get our best against their best and we can kind of see where it's at. And it was the most excruciating like 2 hours of my life. Especially when we had to catch a flight at 5, so we had to leave around 3.
Yeah,
so we were already pressing for that final match to start because, full disclosure, we were not there at the end. We were not there for the trophy ceremony because we had a flight to catch. Yeah. And that happened with a lot of people.
The guy sat next to me. It was even, like, same thing, yeah.
Even some pros. Even we saw, when we were leaving the hotel, we saw some pros leaving.
Yeah.
Not watching. So that was kind of interesting. But all in all, that All-Star game was just a drag. And the fact that it went into double overtime. So now, and I know, you know, our Alchemist, our buddy who was part of the production team, said, don't look at the schedule. Like, look at the very first game to see when it starts. And then after that, it's kind of all out the window because they don't plan for, like, even though the matches are best of three, they don't ever plan for the best of three.
Which you can understand because you want it to, the schedule to be marked as like the earliest possible starting time so that you don't have a chance of like it starting before people missing it.
Yeah, you don't want people complaining that they're missing the start date. Like you said 3 and now you're starting at 2:30. You don't want that. At the same time, you don't want your All-Star game to go into double overtime.
I don't know why they didn't just do, if everyone was yelling for it too, do a sudden death knife match.
Richard Lewis was the one who came up with the idea because yeah. I think they wanted to get out of there just as bad as everyone.
Yeah.
I don't think they liked the All-Star game idea. So they were like, just do, it's like, it's overtime. Great. Do one round knife fight and be done with it. Like, no one cares. This is a meaningless game in the sense of we're actually at a major where competitive games are going. Now, if this was like a stream and they were playing FPL or, you know, League S now on EA or anything like that. Yeah. Okay.
And you
know, I would love to watch the pros play each other outside.
And that was the best part of, and it's funny, the best part about the All-Star game was like the 2.5 seconds of listening in on the comms. And of course, like why anyone thought that it would be anything else. The first, like the third word out of somebody's mouth was fuck on this, on listening in on the comms. And it's like, well, duh, that's what you're going to get when you're listening to a bunch of Counter-Strike players. That's also what makes like FPL interesting to watch on stream because you're listening to the players play.
And even if they're not taking it serious, they're still professional players. So they're still like,
that competitiveness.
It's hard to turn that switch off completely.
Yeah.
So that happened Sunday. Saturday night though, I did want to bring up because like I said, we were staying at the hotel with all the pros and we are friends with some staff members and, acquaintances with some people in the scene, to put it.
You've heard them here on the show.
Yeah, so. I mean, James was there, coach of Team Liquid, and this was after they were eliminated. And props to them because they did go down to the bar. They went down to the hotel bar. So we met up with James, met him in person for the first time. He's an awesome guy. Even after like they lost, I mean,
I did feel I kind of told him. That night, I felt kind of bad asking him questions, like talking to him, because he did look just drained, like he was had no idea what happened.
It hasn't set in at that point. And when we talk about Liquid, I'll get more into it because I did ask him. You have to ask him questions about it, and he was willing to talk a little bit, and I'll go a little bit into more details about that later. But you made amends with enemies. Enemies became friends.
Richard Lewis and I did bury the hatchet.
So you so swallowed the pill of pride and you went and admitted you were wrong.
And I'm not going to lie. He tried his hardest to make it as painful as possible as Richard Lewis would. It was pretty funny.
You know what? As you should. If you have someone apologizing and you know that you're Richard Lewis in front of your boss where everyone's going to have
your back. That was the worst part is like,
What were you going to say to him?
I'm like right in front of Sundance.
You couldn't apologize to him and then him all of a sudden try to just make you look bad, and then you'd be like, you know what? Like, if you were a fool, like in front of everyone, you're not going to be that uncool person. So,
no, but it was pretty. It was pretty funny. He is different in person than. And also, well, I don't want to give away too much.
He was very. He was very nice, though.
He was very personable. He was very nice. Yeah,
very nice. And like I said, even the first day we were there, I saw him in the lobby of the hotel, and I made a point to say hi. Because I didn't know if I was going to have another chance, which obviously we had many. But even there, he was nice. He was in a hurry, and he made sure to be like, hey, I got to go, but nice meeting you. At the hotel, though. So this, we're at the hotel bar Saturday night. And mind you, it is a hotel restaurant bar. This is not like a downtown nightclub bar or anything like that. I'm not kidding when I say... We cleaned out the hotel bar from any alcohol whatsoever. In fact, and this was after we left. The bar was supposed to close at midnight. We left at 12:30 to go to sleep. There was still like everyone else there. And I guess after we left, the bar basically gave away the rest of their alcohol in the form of 200 shots. So that's how much this bar was just cleaned out.
There was a couple that had come down and that were staying at the hotel and was trying to figure out what was going on. They weren't a part of it. And I was like, good luck getting a drink. Like, these poor people are up to their eyeballs in like people asking for drinks. They're out of like almost everything. They were not prepared for the amount of booze that a bunch of gamers can put down. Honestly, they probably saw gamers and thought,
and not
they're
just,
probably too young.
Not just gamers. Like, when half of them are from, like, Russia.
Ugh.
Like, they know their
way. What was it, nine shots of tequila?
Yeah, they know their way around some tequila and vodka. So, but that was awesome. I think that was one of the more memorable moments outside of the play of the event was getting to hang out with...
It was cool. It's like, it's behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's behind-the-scenes stuff. Also... The biggest shit your pants moment was when Richard Lewis said he knew us before we introduced that we did the podcast. That was terrifying. You just don't expect. I mean, we're literally 26 episodes in the podcast. You don't expect anyone to know who we are outside of our family and friends.
Well, and Richard Lewis said, though, he's like, I got to keep up with all you people because I'm a journalist.
So that was terrifying and kind of cool all at the same time. So that's something I'll always take away was. Being able to hang out with them at the bar, not be a fanboy, but more so just hang out. So that was awesome. But outside of that, though, you had the actual play, all the storylines going into the weekend out of group stage, everything like that. I mean, where do you even want to start with the storylines? They're everywhere in this event.
I mean, if you just start chronologically. So let's take a look at Envious. Envious won the previous major before this one, the last major of 2015. Got eliminated very early.
They lost their legendary status, meaning they are not an automatic invite to the next major.
All of a sudden, all the rumors start flying around about the team breaking up or people going here or people going there.
And even leading up to the tournament, though, there was rumors of they just
weren't getting happy, along.
Didn't look happy. You know, they all kind of looked miserable. They're not playing up to par for Envious. As long as Envious is concerned, there's so much talent there. I don't see one person leaving. I think that they're going to get it worked out.
I think you're going to have at least one person walk. There's somebody in that team that's causing the dynamic to not be positive enough. And I think they're going to either be removed or walk away from it. I was really impressed that they hung around for the entirety of what seemed like the entirety of the event. They signed autographs in the concourse after they were eliminated. They didn't even make it to the arena stage, so they came.
Well, they had afterwards. Enough time to sign autographs.
That's true.
At the arena. When you're not playing at the arena, you can spend 3 days signing autographs at the arena, which I did get, by the way. So
yeah, you got
thank
the
you,
Envious.
HyperX, for the VIP cut-in-line pass to get their autographs. So that was really the first one, was MVS getting eliminated super early. I mean, cloud nine status early. So that was a shock. They're going to have to play their way into the next major, which is ESL Cologne, which I don't think there'll be an issue. Even if there is a roster change, I don't think there'll be an issue.
Oh, they'll still make it back. They'll come back strong, but I just think it's going to be in a slightly different roster.
There's too much talent there to let some emotional scuffle or anything like that get in the way. Second one that comes into my mind is, and this might not be chronological, but it's one that I really want to bring up, and that's, was it day two with Fnatic?
I think it was.
Was that day Friday. One? Was that day one?
It was the last match. Yeah, last match of Friday.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because day two was semifinals.
Yep, it was the third quarter.
So it was in the quarterfinals with Astralis versus Fnatic, where Fnatic got, just first off, in group stage, you know, Fnatic did not win their group, which they were favored heavily by everyone. Liquid ended up winning group B, which I know Hiko is Hiko, and he said, you know, no one expected us to do this, but here we are anyways. And he kind of said it in the tone of like, how dare no one believed in us? But look, when you're in a group with Fnatic, no one thought you were going to beat Fnatic. And that's not like taking a shot at anybody's talent or skill. It's, if anything, it's just letting you know how good everyone thought Fnatic was going to be at this tournament, which they were not. One of the rumors, or I guess it's not a rumor, it's fact. Olafmeister has some type of hand wrist injury going on, to where it's to the point where Fnatic is taking the next tournament off.
They're actually talking about stand-ins for or using a stand-in for all the upcoming tournaments.
For how long?
JW tweeted about it but did not put a time frame on.
So it's out. They've discussed, though, if this has to be...
Yeah, they're talking about stand-ins for
if this has to be a multiple tournament, but they are officially out of DreamHack, the next
Masters,
one, yeah, Malmo. Yes, that one they are out of. And I know that was one of the big points during, after Fnatic was eliminated from Astralis going 2-0, at the analyst desk, one of the big points was like, well, Olafmeister, I think it was Flaherin, brought up Olafmeister's dealing with an injury and he's just not playing
That was actually after game one of the matches.
Right.
Flaherin was talking about the injuries.
It's saying how it was Olafmeister's wrist injury and it's kind of messing with the team and yada, yada, yada. And we even took a picture of the scoreboard and everything at that time because I understand wrist injuries and how it can affect one's play. I don't understand how one wrist injury to one person can make a team perform the way Fnatic performed. Unless, like, the team just rides and dies by Olafmeister's play, which he is a cornerstone to that franchise.
The only way that happens is if Olafmeister's hands are controlling his mouse and Crims, because Crims posted one of the worst score lines I've seen from anyone on a Fnatic roster ever.
If you're looking at it, I have it pulled up here in front of me. Crims overall in the Astralis match was 21-38, minus 17. Okay? In overpass, he was 17-19. So not terrible on
not great, but not bad.
On a losing team,
right?
17-19, you're kind of expected if you lose. Cash, though, is where it was ugly. Cash, Crims finished 4-19, and that's almost looking good for how he was playing that match.
It wasn't until round 20 something. Like 8 like, or 16, that he even got a kill.
It was almost like a running joke in the arena,
like,
with all the fans watching.
Don't let him get a kill.
Is that we almost wanted to see them lose and him not get a kill. And then when he did get his first kill, like, you actually heard like a like a disappointing sigh throughout the stadium that Crims was able to get a kill because it was just so, his level of play was so poor on that second map that it was, I don't want to put the whole blame on Crims on why Fnatic didn't play well, because with a team like Fnatic, where arguably you are the top team in the world, hands down, bar none, by everyone before this tournament. And I still think arguably like people understand that this was a fluke. I don't think this is the fall of anything.
No. You can't go from winning the amount of tournaments in a row that Fnatic has won over the last 4 or 5 months since they added Dennis to their roster, and then just fall this far that fast.
No, and I perfectly agree. I wish, I didn't hear in any of the post interviews somebody asked them, or any European team rather, what it was like traveling here and playing. Because, you know, that's always a talk for NA when they go to EU. There's always some team, some player, some analyst brings up the fact of jet lag or sleep or time zone differences. It takes a lot out on you physically and messes up your game. Like, you're not in that right mindset. I almost wonder, like, if that was a part of this. I mean, obviously, it's silly to the jet lag excuse. Cloud9 has kind of made a mockery of that reason.
Which I want to talk about that later. But
that could be, like, a real... Like, I don't think people understand that, like, sleeping in a hotel and all that is draining from you. So, you know, if flying that far messes up your game, maybe that's has something to do with some of the EU teams not performing as well as expected. So that could very well be it. But yeah, the whole Olfmeister wrist injury and that's why Fnatic played as poor, that to me is a silly excuse.
I don't, you know, I think it had an effect, and we've got audio from Anders kind of talking about injuries. And it's kind of a hot topic right now, just taking care of yourself. Like, I don't think people really associate gaming with injuries, but like anything, when you play something for, if you play a game for 8 or 9 hours a day, 6 days a week,
anything, like take gaming out of it, sports out of it.
If you do anything that often,
I mean, secretaries, if you're on a computer for 8 hours a day, if you're lifting boxes or a mechanic or anything, if you do something for that long every day, it can cause that arthritis pain.
Yeah, so here's Anders talking about injuries in gaming and kind of his opinions on it. And
this work as for Olofmeister and Guardian and the rest problems, I think the smart thing to do now is to try and take a little bit of a break. It's hard to cancel tournaments or sort of, it's hard to stay out of tournaments that you really want to play in. It's much worse if you give up a couple of months of your life and then suddenly it turns into a really, really big issue. You keep playing and you know you're out of it for 2 or 3 years. So I'd rather make the hard choice now.
So that was Anders talking about it, and that was before Fnatic actually announced that they were dropping out of DreamHack. This was immediately following the MLG Major. So they did make that hard choice to stay out of it, hoping that Olfmeister can get healthy, which it does sound weird to say that about a video game. But yeah, wait for Olfmeister to get healthy again, and hopefully they'll get back to that winning streak, because any sport is better by having a team you love to hate, and Fnatic winning every tournament is that team.
Fnatic was definitely, when they were losing, when the crowd started singing, you know, goodbye.
Yeah.
That song, I know some people were complaining saying, oh, poor sports and ball. No, that is fun. That is sports. I mean, that's having a team you love to hate. That's the New England Patriots. It's the New York Yankees. If anything, it's a compliment to Fnatic.
Yeah, it's you're so good that we love it when you lose, because you rarely do it. Very rarely do it.
Give us this one major to enjoy, get healthy, and then come back. But I agree where you said, like, people who laugh at it. And to be honest, though, man, when you have like that almost pinched nerve feeling in your wrist and stuff, it really does like affect just everything. That pinched nerve arthritis pain is like, you just can't play through that because it does hurt in that constant motion that you're constantly trying to do. Another injury, which we'll get a little bit in the micro, but that was Guardian. Same deal, though, where this is more of a storyline afterwards, but Guardian had an arm injury to where, you know, you're sweeping your arm across your mouse pad, and that's where it was hurting him.
But I did read Thorin say that that was actually not gaming related. It actually came from football.
But nonetheless, it's not coming from the constant motion of gaming, but his mouse movement motion is getting affected by it.
Simple actually tweeted out as I was driving up here for the show that Guardian was playing on like 5 sensitivity.
So that way he could just move his wrists and not sweep his arm.
If you take a look at his like overall rating throughout the finals, he was awful. Like, not like, man, that was a bad game for Guardian. He was like crims awful throughout the finals.
And so that, again, is an injury that could have been affecting performance, which clearly I feel like it did. Other than that, though, I mean, you had Luminosity winning. That obviously is a main storyline. You had two North American teams getting out of group with Team Liquid and CLG. So both of those became legendary status. So no matter what, for ESL Cologne, which is the next major that was announced, we will have automatically two North American teams in there. 3 if you count Luminosity. So already North American teams are making a statement there. Luminosity ended up winning the finals. They won everything. And I told you when we got there, knowing my luck, the first major I go to, Luminosity is going to effing win it. And go figure they did. I have nothing against Luminosity. They just rubbed me the wrong way. I'm not the only person that they rubbed the wrong way. There's something about them.
You know, it's funny.
They get under my skin.
You know, it's kind of like they have this like us against everyone else mentality. But at that same time, you're kind of like, or this is me personally, I'm thinking, you know, I don't really care. Like, I don't hate you. I don't like you. But the fact that you've situated yourself as like it's you versus everyone else, I kind of don't like you for it. It's a weird paradox.
This was a team that went to their first tournament last year that was crowdfunded.
Right.
So like, where they come up with that attitude, or, you know, and it's really, though, they're not, because they are a great community team. Like, they sign for their fans. Everything's like, their family was at the event. You know, Lord knows their family was at the event. You could hear them from the hotel.
No, but iBuyPower, or the was it RGN?
Yeah.
So like the RGN tournament, after, you know, Liquid didn't want to replay the match, which should have never got to that decision anyway. And you start getting tweets from them about how, you know, they don't like America, or they don't like Team Liquid, or NA, blah blah blah. That's put a sour taste in my mouth. Like,
well, and their fans. I mean, look at it's so weird that I get so worked up by them. But it's something about the attitude of the players, some of the players, and the fans, where, like, even after the match, like, yeah, we'll talk mad trash during the match, but at the end of the day, I felt like the arena for NA, like, were we talking mad trash during the Liquid and Luminosity game? Yes, of course we were. But after, you applaud Luminosity, you moved on, and the next day we supported them. Or some people did. But yet their fans on Twitter were still just like, not just like talking smack back, but like straight up attacking people for saying anything about Team Liquid playing well.
Right.
Like, if it had anything to do with Liquid dropping the ball and Luminosity not winning, it was just like a personal attack on the entire country of Brazil. And I don't know why. I don't know why they rubbed me the wrong way. It's the Baltimore Ravens for me. I've always not liked them, and I probably never will. Fallen is ridiculously good. Cold Zera is ridiculously good. They're an amazing team, and maybe that's why I don't like them. They're my Fnatic.
That's fair. Yeah.
That's what it is. They are my Fnatic.
But you know what's weird for me is like, I like Fallen. If it was just Fallen, I'd be happy. But because it's Luminosity and the Brazilian fans, I'm like, eh.
I don't know. It's just, I enjoy not liking Luminosity for no real logical reason.
And that's not to take away from their win.
No, that's not at all.
They did really well, yeah.
And you know, let's talk about that win. Let's get to just talking about Team Liquid, which was really the storyline of the entire tournament. The fact that this NA team, since for the first time since early 2015, 2014, where an NA team made it to the semifinals. Hiko was actually on the last team on Cloud9 when they made the semifinals. I don't know if that means anything. To me, it was more just a coincidence, but whatever.
That's a situation because the North American talent pool is like one of those kiddie pools you buy at Walmart, like the plastic one. That's about how deep it is.
So eventually you'll make it around.
Yeah.
But Luminosity being the one American team that made it all the way through. Honestly, and one was guaranteed because CLG versus Liquid was in quarterfinals. So one was guaranteed to make semis.
Right.
The Liquid versus CLG match was honestly not that crazy. That happened on Friday. It was the last match of the day at 3. And it wasn't that, like, I thought the crowd was going to get insane. And they really weren't. Like, for whatever reason, it was almost like they
couldn't pick a side.
They felt bad for rooting for both. So it was kind of like, no matter what kill happened, everyone was happy.
Which there was a lot of crazy kills at that game.
And it was a good game. It was, yeah. I mean, you know, JDM made some mistakes and everything that arguably cost him the game there, but overall it was a good game, and I felt like both teams could have done fine in the semifinals. Saturday, on the other hand, is where it all really, like,
it got real.
The North American USA pride really came out. And like I said, even though Luminosity is on that fence of they have some American players, but not really. Like, people don't consider them.
No, even Taco showed up with an American flag, and like
no one really noticed.
No one cheered for it. Admittedly, they brought it out against the actual North American team, so everybody was already on that side of it.
So you had all of that, but Saturday is when it busted out. Where, I mean, from the moment they announced the team till the end of the second map, it was just insane patriotic hype. And I have this is during the pregame where all the analysts were still talking in the background, but this is from a fan angle in the crowd. And just take a listen, close your eyes even if you have to, because it was an amazing, memorable moment. So that's before Liquid even played. That was like while they were warming up. Out of nowhere, one side of the arena, and it just like a wave took over where everyone in the arena stood up, hats off, hands on the heart, singing the national anthem. Not the most beautiful.
It was way off key. Props to the people there that knew all of the words. Like 90% of the crowd, and I'm not trying to like discount national pride in America, but I promise you, if you were to walk up to like 10 people and ask them to recite the national anthem, you wouldn't get 9 of them that could do it.
No, and it was a good amount of people that knew everything. It was honestly like the one moment where I kind of just looked around and took it all in. To where it was like, this is probably the closest well, it is the closest to date and probably ever that I will get to like being at the Olympics, where you just have that. It was no longer Team Liquid. It was Team USA.
Yeah.
With Simple.
It was odd. He had his Ukraine flag, and it's like everyone's later on Puckett asked him to help start a USA chant. It's like you feel kind of bad, like you're basically forcing him to disown or to adopt this country, I guess.
But you know, he eats it up. Like,
oh, he loves it.
It was also when Simple walked into the stadium on Friday. And he literally just walked into the VIP area and people saw him walk into the stadium, and instantly everyone started chanting USA
in the middle of another match
for him. And in
what
the
was
middle
that?
Of,
was that Navi Astralis? I think that was playing at the time.
No. They did it during the semifinals, but it was during the quarterfinals also.
Oh, so it was the Luminosity Virtus Pro game that they walked in. Yeah,
where they walked in, and I mean, everyone just went insane every time they saw them. Anytime someone saw Simple especially, but anyone from Liquid just went berserk, and it was an awesome feeling. Overall, like I said, I told James this at the bar on Saturday night. Like, once you made it out of groups, once you won your group, you were honestly playing with house money. So just enjoy the ride from there on out, because no one really expected you to get out of groups, to be honest. And not even the organization must have thought it, because they didn't bring any merchandise, maybe 50 t-shirts from what I hear.
But
if you wanted to buy a Liquid t-shirt, forget it, because they didn't bring any. Why an NA team would not bring their merch to an NA major, I have no idea, but they would have cleaned house. Everyone there would have had a shirt. But that's besides the point. And so after they made it out of groups, like, just, you know, play with house money, see where it goes and everything. That was after they lost in the semifinals, though, to Luminosity in historic fashion. So no one really had them really beating Luminosity. There was, you know, you had some of the homers and everything, and there was that slight chance that everything could work out. Well, but while they were playing, like, it wasn't just like a slight chance anymore. It was like, okay, we can do this. Like, Liquid can get to the finals, until they got to match point. And that's when everything went downhill for them in both maps. Where what was it? Do you remember? It was like 13 match points.
The first round it was 13 match points. Or no, the first round was 13.
Well, I thought out of both of maps it was like 13 total. I thought they lost not. Well, I guess not, because they went to OT.
I know the second match was 10. I don't remember how many was on the first match.
Okay. Either way, a ridiculous amount of round 15s. Where it was like 15-6, they had to win one round to win the map, and they couldn't. They just could not get over that hump. Now, I do know for a fact Hiko was in-game leading in this tournament throughout the whole thing. There was no switch-ups. James did help out, because at this stage, so Hiko is like a fresh IGL for Team Liquid, and you probably, like, you don't expect a rookie quarterback play caller to take you to the Super Bowl and then just know exactly handle the pressure, you know. And that's essentially what it was. He was a rookie IGL in the biggest stage he has ever been in, regardless whether that be IGL or just as a normal player. And he had all this pressure on him, to where I think it just got a little too much, to where he didn't know how to make that final play call to clinch victory.
Well, it was frustrating. I think everybody in the, I know we talked about it multiple times.
There, at that time, there were 9,500 backseat gamers in that arena that all knew how to beat Luminosity.
you start off. So I'm looking at the stats right now. In the first map, Liquid got out to a 15-4 lead. So it was 15-4. So you had literally 15 match points to close it out, nearly 15. And you start off and they basically rushed B and dumped all over Taco. It was on Mirage.
It was for the first half of Mirage, Taco was irrelevant, and they kept sending him to B. And
all by
every
himself.
Round, Liquid would just create a waterfall out of apartments, plant the bomb, and be done with it. So they even had an amazing, the most sexiest rotation I've ever seen in my life, to where it was like literally the entire team of Liquid rotated from B to A to plant the bomb, and Luminosity just bit hard, and that entire team went over to B.
Oh, the double rotation,
the
back
fake
over there.
Rotation that Liquid pulled off, and you were like, Luminosity, Fallen was missing his op shots, Taco couldn't hit anything to protect B, nothing, and then all of a sudden they get to that 15th round.
Cold Zera broke them on Mirage with that ridiculous jumping op collateral. What was it? It was 4K, right? Or is it 3?
It was a triple. The collateral was 3.
And then
he
got one more.
Jumped up again and got another no-scope op shot.
So there was a gentleman on Reddit that created a simulation of the same situation and found that it was like a 1.14% chance that you hit that shot that Cold Zera hit just from like random effects. And he hit it. And it was like, you could like, that completely swung the momentum away, and Luminosity never let him have it back. But at the same time, Liquid never tried to take it back. Liquid did that. They got creamed on their B thing and then immediately started going slow plays to A or split pushing A and just getting rolled over every time.
So, and here's my philosophy. When it comes to that type of situation where your Hiko, your rookie IGLing going on, and you're up against a team like Luminosity, where you have veterans like Fallen, who, I mean, is just a rock. Like, nothing affects that guy. When you slow the game down, it gives them so much time. It gives the veteran players so much time to figure out exactly what you are doing and what they want to do to counter it, to where you give them too much time to set up if you're the rookie player against the more veterans, which is why at the start when they just kept rushing B and pulling off these crazy shots, it was working for them. And then you're right, they slowed, and they did this on the second map as well, where they just slowed things down and just they stopped doing what was working. Because at one point, and I specifically asked James about this, he actually brought it up when I was just discussing in-game leading and countering and thing like that. When Taco picked up the auto sniper,
this was on Cash,
this was map 2. When Taco picked up the auto sniper and Fallen had the op, you don't practice to how to defuse a situation like that. You just don't sit there and practice and in scrims thinking, gee, what happens if one of the best opper in the games has an op and then there's an auto sniper on A just tearing us apart for 10 rounds? How do we stop the bleeding? And simply put, James just said they didn't know what to do. And again, they were playing with no one expected them to be there. So in retrospect, look at it for what it is. You had Liquid, a team playing out of their minds, and made it to the semifinals. They have now qualified for the next tournament. And the bar is set ridiculously high now. Like, for all of NA. I think they really... Even like after listening to Thorne and Richard Lewis, who, for the most part, have never said a nice thing about NA Counter-Strike ever, even like they were turning their... you know, their heads and saying, oh, well, actually, Liquid is good. Like, they are a considerable team. Right.
This is something, especially when you have teams that don't get here very often. Like we said, there's only one other time that it's happened. This is such a huge learning experience for a team to be able to go back and look at this and be like, so this is what happened. This is how we played, and this is how we could have played it. And to be able to take that and move on to the next tournament.
This is one of those, and you're right, where losing is almost going to give you more knowledge than winning.
Right.
Because if they would have won, then they would never have known what it felt to be in this situation, in the historically the worst choke in all of esports history. There's never been, and even after the match, I talked to Threat, coach of NIP, and I asked Threat, have you ever seen anything like that? Like, you are a player, you are a coach, what just happened? And even he said, simply put, they choked. Like, there's no reason to even try to analyze this play or what happened here. Is they choked. Simply put.
And I hate that Liquid, especially if they don't perform well at the next major, is going to have that label put on them. Because, I mean, it sucks that they weren't able to close it out. But if you just look at the scores, they took the eventual winners and arguably one of the top three teams in the world to overtime on two maps. Granted, they got out to some extreme leads and should have closed the matches, which is that's an accomplishment, but they'll never be remembered for that. They will be known now as the match point chokers.
From the community side, from the fan perspective, yes. No doubt. I mean, go on Reddit. You can't mention Liquid without someone bringing up that match. And it's going to be like that forever. I mean, look at Astralis. Astralis makes it to the semifinals every tournament, and it's turned into a joke now.
Still, the best meme of the weekend was, even Fnatic can't stop Astralis from getting to the semifinals.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But nonetheless, like, if I was like, hey, you could be a professional gamer and make it to the semifinals at least every tournament.
But you would take it.
Anyone would take that. But they, as a community, we've turned them making it to the semifinals into a joke.
Yeah.
That has turned into a joke. And this has now, it will be a joke. Even if they become successful, somehow, anytime they lose a round, you're going to see NA choke all in Twitch chat. Anytime they lose, it's going to be that. But again, but like you said, like Cold Zero, obviously he was MVP of the event, and obviously for good reason. I mean, just looking here, and it wasn't even close. Like, it almost makes me think there's a typo in HLTV's stats here. But kill differential, Cold Zero, plus 84. Next was Fallen at plus 48.
Wait, Cold Zero was a... Did you say 84?
Yeah.
No kidding.
And then Fallen was next at 48. Total kills, Cold was at 235. FNX was next with 197. Kills per round, Cold was at 0.90. Nico was at 85.85. I mean, those stats are ridiculous. He led in total headshots. Luminosity is all over these top charts.
I was really surprised they didn't give it to Fallen. Just a knee-jerk reaction, because everybody likes to prop Fallen up as this in-game leader. He is a great opper.
But it's like you said,
when you see Cold Zero...
Without Cold Zero turning that around...
Yeah.
I mean...
Cold Zero broke Liquid on Mirage.
It wouldn't have been... The second they started sending him to B and not letting Taco deal with it by himself, it was GG from that point. Liquid had no answers. And if you had to lose to one team, whether that be a choke or not, lose to the team that wins it all, right? Like, who's going to go and talk smack to you? No one can go and talk smack to Liquid, because everybody lost to Luminosity, despite everything there. I mean, they were the only ones who... Luminosity was the only team that dropped a game in the quarterfinals. Virtus Pro ended up beating them once. They went 2-0 in semifinals, but that's a scoreboard where if you don't know the story, then it's a very misleading 2-0. And then even in the semifinals, they had to take Na'Vi to OT in the first map. Now, the second map was pretty ugly.
Dumpstered.
Yeah, but... I mean, their journey was not easy.
Right.
Yeah, they 2-0'd teams, but it was not an easy road. And for them to do it in the fashion they did is just... it is really impressive to me that a team that went from crowdfunding a year ago is now this. And it only is going to solidify everything, like, for this next coming tournament in 2 weeks, where Fnatic's out, Guardians dealing with an injury, they are clear-cut the favorites once more going into it.
We took their underdog card away months ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were never considered an underdog, but I remember in my pre-tournament picks, I said that they were going to be, if there had to be one disappointment, it was them not making it out of groups because the way they performed in iBuyPower, and boy, was I wrong. They did the exact opposite. They just wouldn't go away. That being said, that's really all I can say on that. Oh, I guess since we're talking about it, I was going to bring it up in the micro, but I might as well. We could bring it up now since it is involving Liquid. So we're just going to transition from Liquid talk to micro, but micro, staying on the Liquid. Micro. So Hiko tweeted out earlier today that they are going with Kusta. Kusta will be playing with them at the next tournament. That being said, it's not ruling a Dren out from being on the roster. They're just playing with Kusta the next tournament. And even then, Simple said on his Twitch stream that he'd rather play with a Dren because of like playstyle reasoning.
Whoa. I didn't see that.
Yeah. He said that he'd rather play with a Dren because the way a Dren plays allows him to play his, like, with an op and everything. It allows Simple to play more his style because
Dren compliments him a lot better. Out of every team I saw, Team Liquid's double op setup with Simple and a Dren opping when a Dren was playing the way he was amazing. The angles that they held and the fact that Simple was able to roam with it, I loved it too. I thought it was an amazing setup to have. That said, Simple saying he'd rather play with a Dren is kind of funny considering the video that was released during the major with Hiko saying that they knew once Simple joined the team that it was either going to be Simple or a Dren and that their personalities weren't going to mesh. They weren't going to be able to play together, and that a Dren didn't have the same dedication that Simple did. Now, this is a roundabout way paraphrasing it, but Simple, you know, expects players to show up and to play their best, and now a Dren is cut.
And that's all hearsay, really. Like, that is...
Well, that was quotes from the video, yeah.
I mean, that was what Hiko was saying in the little Liquid team video. But this mixes everything up. Like, before the tournament, my dream was Liquid overperforms, and now there's this conflict of what the hell do we do? Who do we keep? And it's happening to where there are rumors flying everywhere, and I could say with confidence from inside sources, which for the first time on this podcast, we have inside sources, where a Dren is going is all rumors, and it is just that, rumors. Did he play with TCM? Yeah, he played with TCM. Are they interested? Who wouldn't be, right? Like, who would not be interested in
TSM?
In a, yeah.
You said TCM.
Oh, did I?
You got used to the show TC, acronyms, yeah. TCR.
So TSM.
Anyway, TSM, he played with TSM, yeah.
Yeah. So, he played with them, but by no means was that like an indication of if he's going there. Is he going to stay on Liquid? You know,
I mean, he's still got the contract, right?
Yeah, the contract's there. There's still... Well, it's going... There's a lot that has to happen, whether he stays on Liquid or he doesn't. Because now you have to think of, with Kusta, like what's going on in his head now that all these rumors are flying about that Liquid doesn't want him anymore. That it was just... Everyone is saying it was the biggest mistake to get Kusta on the team.
Well, and the sad part with the Kusta situation is now that Kusta's left Selfless, they picked up two players that are performing really well, and Selfless has started elevating their game without Kusta. He's now kind of, unfortunately, this has happened because of the way the qualifying rules for this major worked, but he's unfortunately kind of put himself in a situation where he doesn't look like the best option for either one of his teams or either one of the teams that he's played on recently.
And look at Adren's situation. So he is, from what I could tell on Twitter, the player's MVP for the tournament, because the way he played and the fact that he played so well and was willing to just play with a team that kicked him off weeks before. So he had a good attitude throughout the whole thing. Helps when you're going to get a couple grand, but nonetheless, he's good guy Adren playing with a team that didn't want him. He played well, one of the top performers minus.
He did struggle a little bit in the semifinals against Luminosity.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit, but okay. I mean, what, you're gonna judge him off of one match?
But all through groups, all through the playoff stage up until the semifinals,
he went key moment
ham
that made or break a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his stock is only rising. Like, there's no one that's looking at Adren and thinking, maybe it just wouldn't work out. Like, maybe Cloud9's looking. I know I said when they got Stewie 2K, give it 6 months. And that would be June, because they picked him up in January.
Their performance of this tournament was unacceptable.
But when you have this opportunity to get someone like Adren, to even talk to someone like Adren, are you just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to at least
entertain the idea. Yeah.
Entertain the idea. He is currently the top NA free agent, whatever you want to call him. So you have to entertain the idea, and at least if you're Cloud9, toy with the idea that he might be available for your services. But moving on, that's only time will tell where that takes us. Moving on, we've mentioned it throughout the show, but ESL Cologne is going to be the next CSGO major. That starts up around July 8th, I believe. So that's going to be the next major where, like we said, Liquid and CLG automatically qualify. So that's two NA teams that are automatically going to be there. What else do you have here?
Hitbox. Yep. Another streaming service. It's been around for a while. They have a big foothold in the Russian market, specifically Russia and Brazil, and have signed a 2-year deal with ESL DreamHack, obviously because the company that owns ESL now also owns DreamHack. For exclusive rights to their Portuguese and Russian broadcasting streams. So if you're watching a Russian stream or Portuguese stream, you will now be watching it on Hitbox. Wargaming.net, the creators of the esport game World of Tanks, also signed a deal with Hitbox, providing an English, Russian, and Polish coverage for World of Tanks.
So is that all Star Ladder then? That's all going to
Hitbox? Some of it's
going to
be Star Ladder, yeah. There's not anything in here on which specific tournaments, but Star Ladder is a big Russian tournament. I don't think that's included in here, though. Anyway, I found it was interesting that World of Tanks, the company that created it, Wargaming.net, actually has become a major shareholder in Hitbox. They put $4 million investment into Hitbox last year, securing their chief strategy officer, a seat on the board of directors for Hitbox. So there's obviously that connection there for where that deal came through.
You also have, we mentioned in the show, DreamHack Malmo, is how I'm going to say it. Groups were announced for that. That starts April 12th. Again, Fnatic is out of that tournament. G2 is taking their place. And so it was tossed around today, and I honestly do not know what the final results were. Guardian tweeted that he wasn't going to make it. Then he said that, no, he is going to make it, but not be playing. He's just going to be there to support the team. And then the owner said, no, he's playing. He's going to heal up before then. He's going to heal his arm up before then and then continue. I really hope this is not the owner forcing him to play.
If the owner is forcing him to play, that's going to cause so many issues with contracts and player liabilities.
Well, it's going to start an uproar just in the esports community in general. Like, are owners really putting the pressure on their players to play through these injuries that clearly are affecting their game? I mean, if he has to play on 5 sensitivity, I couldn't even tell you what it would be like to play on 5 sensitivity. So if he's having to do that, and the owner, if, like I said, I don't know what the end results were, because it was like a back and forth. One said he wasn't, and then it kind of slowly morphed into that. So we'll keep an eye on it, but right now, Guardian is playing, the last I read. Anyways, for this, though, tournament should be a little interesting. So in Group B, you have Na'Vi, G-Sports, now CLG. Some other big ones, you actually have Group D, which is actually, to me, one of the more competitive ones. You have Virtus Pro, Envious, Tempo Storm, and FaZe. So Tempo Storm is back. Group A, though, that is where you want to mark your calendar for. Top two teams make it out of group. In that group, you have Tyloo, Mouse Sports, Team Liquid, and Luminosity. So the rematch is happening already. Now, with Kusta, not a Dren.
So this is gonna be an amazing comparison.
It will be riddled with comparisons, and maybe not fair ones, because if it's the different maps, different everything, sure. But, I mean, if there's any time Kusta needs to perform,
this is it. This is weeks apart, where, like, Liquid played amazing but couldn't close, like, and now you're going to play the exact same team with literally one change.
Do not lose to Mouse Sports, or you are done. if they lose to anyone in there but Luminosity, Kusta is a bye-bye.
That game needs a big red circle on the calendar.
I will be watching it so intently, because it is... I might ask off of work just to see that game, because the possibilities are endless. You also have the one esports that we could watch this weekend other than CSGO because of time. HOT's Spring Global Championship happened in Korea. You had MVP defeats Edward Gaming. One interesting note here, it's kind of depressing, but the top 4 teams in this tournament were all either Chinese or Korean. So,
NA, that tournament was hard to watch.
It was rough. It was one of those where you could hear the Korean announcers in the background of the American one. Not to mention, it was like 2:00 in the morning, so it was a struggle, but nonetheless, entertaining, especially during the Cloud9 and Edward match, where Cloud9 busted out the Murky and Edward Gaming's busted out Abathur. Like, what the hell are we doing? Seriously. Like, I understand they get the Murky, but why did you pick the Abathur to, like, what? I don't know. They're the pros, not me, so who am I to question?
Maybe it was like such like next level strats that we can't even comprehend what they were trying to
do. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just so meta. I'm not even sure what was going on. Do you have anything else for the micro, sir?
You know what? I did, but it's not even worth the time to talk about it.
Wasn't that the definition of the micro? Or is this so micro?
Okay, I'll just read the headline. I'm going to pull Amazon's Twitch to launch League for popular iOS esports game Vainglory. Done.
Yeah.
Moving on.
You're definitely right. That was not worth it. Actually, I remember seeing Vainglory at Twitch or at PAX South at the Twitch booth 2 years ago.
I mean, I'm impressed that this company has so much venture capital behind it that they are still trying to make this a thing. The event for a like a iPad game.
It's a MOBA, man. Someone will play it.
I don't know. It's just.
Anyways, whatever. We'll sit on that one for now. But we will also sit on episode 26 of The Center Ring, TCR, your favorite esports podcast. I hope you enjoyed the episode, even if you just skipped around and happened to get to this moment. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. You can catch us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can catch us on our website, tcr.gg, that has all old episodes, the audio streams, the direct link to YouTube and everything. We will update our YouTube. We might be an episode.
We're an episode behind
on that.
The major.
Right. That's why we're an episode behind, because the major.
We flew out, man.
So that will all be on our website, tcr.gg. You can find me on Twitter at The Center Ring. Or nope, that's our shows. I'm at Pirate Mushroom.
I'm at Brand Any New.
And also, we made a Instagram because somebody asked us for our Instagram, so
and
I
like,
quickly ran
we,
back to the
hotel.
We have
one now.
Yeah, I quickly ran back to the hotel room and got on that Wi-Fi and was like, oh, Instagram, how do I do this? So we have that. We also have business cards now because
apparently those are still a thing.
It only takes one person to ask you for a business card and you look like an idiot when you write it on a napkin.
Did it.
And he quickly threw it away. Quickly threw it away. Anyways, again, this was episode 26 of The Center Ring. We had a lot of fun doing it. I hope you had a lot of fun listening. We will see you next week for episode 27. We'll see you then.